649 1320 WILS. Well, the Trump administration is now considering whether or not to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement. My next guest says the problem goes far deeper than just one agreement on climate change. Tom Harris with us, executive director of the International Climate Science Coalition, a man that studied the issue for many decades. Tom, great to have you on WILS.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
And you, well, first of all, what do you think? Should we pull out of this Paris Climate Agreement?
Well, we should, but, you know, it really goes much deeper than that. It's kind of like saying, should you cut the tops off dandelions? You know, the trouble is if you don't get to the root, they just grow right back. And the root of these UN climate agreements, not just the Paris Agreement, but the Kyoto Protocol, the Cancun Agreement, all these agreements, they're all based on what the UN climate treaty, which was signed in 1992 by President Bush and other world leaders. Mm-hmm. And that treaty is called the Framework Convention on Climate Change. And it basically, you know, is the source of the problem, because what happens is you have these other things like the Paris Agreement and the Kyoto Protocol. They just sprout up. As long as you stay in the Framework Convention on Climate Change, you're going to be subject to these agreements later on.
So what is the initial climate treaty? What does it really say?
Well, the Framework Convention on Climate Change was signed in Rio de Janeiro in, as I say, on 1992, and it basically said that they were going to limit anthropogenic dangerous climate change by reducing CO2 emissions. And the trouble with that treaty is it was really two treaties, and it was a treaty. There was no question. It was actually passed by the U.S. Senate. It basically said that there were two kinds of countries, developing countries and developed countries, and developing countries did not have to make reducing greenhouse gases their top priority. In fact, it says very clearly in the Framework Convention that the first and overriding priority for developing countries is poverty eradication and development. And so what's going to happen is any agreement based on the FCCC is going to have this as an underlying problem, because, of course, countries like China are still considered developing countries. So they can build all the coal stations they want, because their first and overriding priority, of course, is development, which requires cheap electricity. It's really interesting, Michael. In Peru, at the climate conference in Peru, the Chinese negotiator was cornered and asked if they would consider rewriting the Framework Convention, you know, to basically make it more of an even playing field. And he said, oh, no, our purpose at this conference is to enforce the FCCC, not to rewrite it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Paris Agreement, the Kyoto Protocol, Cancun, all those things are just symptoms of an underlying problem. And with 1 year's notice, you can get out of the Framework Convention, and that's exactly what Trump should do.
What does that do? If we get out of that Framework Convention, then what happens to the larger effort?
Well, what happens then is that all the agreements that were based on the FCCC become null and void for your country. So if you get out of the FCCC, you're immediately out of the Paris Agreement. Yeah. And you know, the thing you got to realize
is, do we want to limit CO2 emissions? Is that something we want to attempt to do?
Well, there's not much point in it, because we've seen since 2000, you know, there's been something like a 10% rise in carbon dioxide, but there hasn't been any temperature increase to speak of. I mean, it's gone up and down. The temperature really hasn't changed since there. So what's happening is the climate models and the whole basis of the Framework Convention is proving to be wrong. It simply isn't working. And, you know, Canada, back in 2011, we withdrew from the Kyoto Protocol when we had a conservative government. But because we stayed in the Framework Convention, and then the conservative government lost, liberal government came in, and what they did is they just were suddenly on board with the Paris Agreement. So, you know, if you think about it, before Trump came in, Obama tried to Trump-proof his climate policies by putting in all sorts of things to make it difficult to get out. And one thing he did is 3 days before he left office, he gave $500 million to the UN Climate Fund. Well, what Trump has to do is he has to Democrat-proof his climate policies. Mm-hmm. As long as he stays in the Framework Convention, there's just going to be more Parises in the future.
So we're talking to Tom Harris. He's executive director of the International Climate Science Coalition. So what should our objective be? I mean, should there be any attempt worldwide to get a grip on this pollution, on CO2 emissions at all, or just let it rip at this point?
Well, you have to get, you know, you really should focus on real pollution. I mean, carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. You know, it's plant food. It's invisible. It's in submarines, for example, the CO2 level goes to 25 times atmospheric level and nobody's hurt because CO2 is benign. It's not a toxin or a poison at all. So what we should do is take a no regrets approach. We should be reducing real pollution, you know, things like sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxide and soot and particulates and lead and PCBs, all that kind of thing. We should reduce that. We should save energy. We should develop new energy sources because someday we'll run out of fossil fuels. But with respect to CO2, you're right. We should basically just let it go because it's not a pollutant, and there's no evidence, you know, in the real world outside of computer models, there's no good evidence that it's going to cause any climate problem.
Now, why is there really no consensus on something that's been studied for so many decades?
Well, it's mainly because it's so complicated. You know, in the case of climate change, people say, oh, it's simple, you know, da-da-da. But in fact, people like Chris Essex, who studies computer models at the University of Western Ontario, he's a applied mathematician, he says not only do we not have the ability to forecast climate, we may never have the ability to forecast it because it's a turbulent, chaotic system. You know, we have difficulty forecasting next week's weather, okay? Now, imagine trying to forecast climate in the year 2080, which is what the UN are doing, and yet they can't forecast next week's weather. So, I mean, the bottom line is that what we should do is dedicate our money to helping people adapt to climate change as it occurs. And that's where the real problem here lies. The UN recognized that the climate of the future is largely unknown, so they did want half of the money to go to helping people today, you know, adapt and compensate for real climate change. But because there's so much money to be made in the climate mitigation area, things like wind turbines and carbon credit trading, what you find is that 94% of the $1 billion a day that is being spent on the climate issue goes to trying to stop climate change. The poor people in Ethiopia and other parts of the world, they get virtually no money at all, and we think that's a big mistake.
So is it a good idea to move away from using things like coal as an energy source? Is that a smart move?
Well, no. I think that if you live right on top of coal, like people in Utah and, you know, West Virginia, Kentucky, those kinds of – what they should do is use their own natural resources and with the latest pollution control devices, okay? And similarly, if you're living in Ohio and other places, you may choose to use natural gas. Or if you're living in the Northwest, you want to use hydropower. So all of these sources have environmental problems, okay? There's no such thing as a free lunch. So what you have to do is work hard to reduce the environmental impact of the most available source of energy. And for the United States in general, coal is the cheapest and most available source of electricity. We really should be saving our natural gas in most cases for home heating and for cooking and industrial processes.
You know, I'm curious, Tom, because obviously in the U.S. and in Europe, this climate change issue is considered one of the key issues. In China, do they view this as a major problem themselves?
No, they have a lot of real pollution. I mean, in some cities, for example, they're wearing dust masks, you know, every time they go outside. You can see that on YouTube. Frequently, they talk about real pollution problems in China. And, you know, China's not going to follow these UN agreements anyways. I mean, they're building a coal station every week or something. So the bottom line is we should be encouraging them and selling them technology to help clean up their coal stations, because they're going to continue to build coal stations from now for decades to come. As they grow.
Does that have an effect on the global environment, all the coal and all the soot they're putting in?
Yes, it does. There's something called the Asian brown cloud, which drifts across the Pacific Ocean, and that's real pollution. It's largely particulate matter and things like that. And it does affect air quality on the western side of the North American continent. And so, indeed, we should encourage the Chinese to use clean sources of coal, because, you know, there's different types of coal, of course, and we should encourage them to burn it cleanly. That's the sort of thing we should focus on. But the idea that we can control the climate, you know, is pretty far-fetched and is largely a waste of money.
Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition, right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
Let's talk again. And that is it for us. I was going to give you the time, which is 6:59, but that is when we wrap it all up here. Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin on this Wednesday. Thank you for joining us, and please send us an email. Let us know what you think, especially if you listen regularly and you've thought, I want to comment on this or I want to hear more of that, let us know this time. ccrecap@gmail.com. ccrecap@gmail.com is our email address. And we're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Good night.
Mid-Michigan's more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, Lansing, and worldwide at 1320WILS.com.